Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, a voyage of the space cruiser Argo. In the year 2212, the Earth was subjugated by the Comet Empire. 5 years of occupation has bled our planet of all resources, leaving Earth a dried, dead husk. Having extracted the last value from our world, the Empire now sends an enormous fleet to end all life on the planet. But the last remnants of the Earth Defense Force have a desperate gamble to save us. They have resurrected and launched their final weapon, the space cruiser Argo. Now the Star Force has left Earth, en route to the fringes of the solar system. But before leaving Earth space, they have taken aboard several astrofighters from the nearby Imperial Home Guard base. In the great ship's docking bay, the pilots of those fighters are about to be met by the crew.
So this is the Argo. It feels like stepping aboard a ship in a bottle.
How so, May?
Come on, Philippe. You can't be that dense. Remember when we were kids? The whole sun about to go nova thing? The rogue planet Aquarius passing close enough to drop about a bazillion tons of water on Earth?
It rings a bell, yes.
The Star Force resolved all that. This ship. Then, when she was blown up in order to divert the Aquarius flood, I never thought I'd lay eyes on her again. Much less serve aboard her.
Not that I'm complaining, but why do you think they rebuilt this ship instead of just building other vessels?
I don't know, but I have a few theories. Well, look, here comes our reception committee.
Well, they don't have weapons drawn, at least. I consider that a hopeful sign.
Freeze, traitors. Move a muscle and we'll shoot.
You just had to open your mouth, didn't you, Philippe?
Belay that, crewman. All of you, holster those sidearms.
Captain?
You heard me.
Yes, sir.
Where's that PA? Ah. Now hear this. This is the captain. The pilots and techs who just came aboard are members of the Star Force. They are a part of this crew. Every single one of them was vetted by their flight lead, May Gideon. Gideon herself is an EDF sympathizer who infiltrated the Home Guard at great personal risk to help get supplies down to Earth from the EDF fleet out beyond Pluto. They were further checked out by the EDF's intel section. They are all clean. You will treat them as you would any other crew member. Incidents of any sort will not be tolerated. That is all.
Thank you, Captain Wildstar. Permission to come aboard, sir.
Granted. Get your ships and people taken care of. Crewman.
Sir?
Consider yourself at Lieutenant Gideon's service until the Black Tigers here are all settled in. Then return to your duties.
Yes, sir.
What do you think the captain meant by that?
He doesn't want any friction.
Friction? They're bloody Home Guard, aren't they? We're letting the wolves in ourselves.
Caller, just because they were Home Guard does not mean they are traitors. If the Empire has a use for you, they will use you. I was imprisoned in an Imperial research laboratory for 3 years before I escaped.
What were they doing, Hans? Removing your personality?
Reyes, that's enough.
No venture, it's all right. Reyes, they were trying to unravel the workings of the Cosmo DNA machine the ship brought back from Iskandar. They sought to understand its ability to remove radioactivity from matter.
We're getting off topic. The captain said Intel vouched for them.
Yes, Sam, he did. Problem is, most times Intel couldn't find water if you tossed them in a lake.
Hey, I was in Intel.
I trust you all heard me. I meant every word.
You are the ship's officers. I expect you to set the example for the rest of the crew.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good. Attention, crew. We're beginning prep for an in-system warp. Since this is the first warp for the Argo since she was reconstructed, and your first warp collectively, secure all duty stations and take maximum precautions. Lieutenant Gideon, report to the bridge.
Radar. Communications. You will coordinate with Mr. Drake and his nav team to plot a warp from here to Jupiter orbit.
Yes, sir.
Reporting is ordered, Captain.
Good. Gideon, Vega, and Stevens. I want to see you three in the operations room. XO, you have the bridge.
Aye, Captain.
Gideon, I want you to meet Max Stevens, our gunnery officer, and Michael Vega, our combat commander.
I'm A. Gideon. It's very good to meet both of you.
Huh. Yeah, sure.
Right. Gideon and her people will need to coordinate closely with your gunners. I want practice drills scheduled as soon as possible after the warp. Also, establish a combat air patrol. 4 ships minimum. I want as much information on enemy movements as possible.
Aye, Captain.
You two are dismissed. Thank you. Lieutenant Gideon, remain, please.
Sir?
I know this is going to be rough for you, May, but I needed someone I could trust.
I knew that. Don't worry about it. Home Guard pilots are despised by Common Empire personnel. We're used to getting the evil eye. So, where exactly were you hiding her? Are there any other miracles I should know about?
We salvaged the remains of the Argo from the frozen Aquarius flood almost as soon as it was safe to do so. It was rather extravagant. So we didn't dare let the taxpayers know. It was a major R&D project.
R&D?
There's still things about this ship we don't know. Despite the fact that we've rebuilt and improved on the wave motion engine design, the core of the Argo is still an alien device. It's always outperformed what the specs say it should be capable of. Then, there's why she was able, almost single-handedly, to destroy Zardar's White Comet when the whole EDF fleet didn't scratch it.
But what about her ghosts?
Ghosts?
You know who I mean.
No, I don't. That will be all, Lieutenant.
Captain?
I said that will be all.
The commander of the Combat Empire forces in the Milky Way, General Garon, has heard news of the activities of Earth's resistance. The general has sent Colonel Nazca of the Orion Spiral Arm Fleet to investigate. Now aboard the occupation flagship, Major Barit receives the news.
Sir, Colonel Nazca demands you make contact with him.
I see. Thank you. If we're in visual communications range, then open a channel.
Barit, why are you aboard the occupation flagship and not at the headquarters facility?
Colonel, the rebels destroyed the facility on the ground. Since you ordered us to destroy San Francisco, there's been a general uprising.
And you dealt with it by retreating to orbit. Barit, with you it's just one failure after another, isn't it? First you lose one of our new communication core terminals, then you allow a conquered populace to drive you from your own base.
Sir, you should know how our facilities were destroyed.
Yes.
The rebels were concealing. They had a large capital ship hidden in the ruins of a great island, sir. The ship launched the day after our actions against the populace. It destroyed our headquarters with a single salvo.
Ridiculous, Barit. No ship in the former EDF arsenal could.
Sir, we can confirm the ship was the Argo.
What was that, Barit?
There is no doubt. The ship that fired on us was the Argo. It engaged half of the Earth occupational fleet and defeated them easily. After picking up several fighters on our home guard base on the moon, the ship left Earth space at best speed. We believe it is now somewhere near Mars.
The Argo was destroyed. It cannot be. The Star Force scuttled her years before we returned to Earth space.
I have no explanation, sir. Obviously, the Earthers salvaged it and finally managed to repair it to the point it could be launched.
And under your nose, all the while at that I see. Major Barit.
Sir!
I bring news from General Garen and Supreme Commander Khan. My orders are to ensure that the scheduled purification of Earth proceeds unhindered. You will submit to that authority, won't you, Barret?
Of course, sir.
Good, Barret. Good. You, soldier!
Sir?
Major Barret has been found guilty by a superior officer of gross incompetence under fire and endangering our grand destiny. The punishment for said crimes is execution. In the name of Emperor Jamalta, you will carry out that sentence at once.
Yes, sir.
Sweet! Colonel!
I am taking command of the Earth Garrison effective immediately. All ships will form up with my advanced squadron when it warps into Earth space. Follow the suspected course of the Argo at once. They cannot warp out of the system until they clear the asteroid field beyond Jupiter, so we will box them in there.
As you command, Colonel Nazca.
Nazca out.
Weakness breeds foolishness, breeds disaster. You did as you had to, my son.
Thank you, Most Holy Xavier. Will you be traveling onto Earth, or will you remain with us here?
I believe I will remain with you. The Argo was the ship that destroyed my greatest pupil, Prince Zordar himself. I would draw no small satisfaction from watching it die.
As you wish, Most Holy.
No, Colonel. As must be.
Aboard the Argo, the warp preparations are complete, and all eyes now fix on the nav station and Neville Drake.
Engine output increasing within established performance curve. Give me a course verification.
Course clear of all obstacles.
Radar?
Concur. Course is clear.
Engine output isn't in the optimum curve. Give me some juice, Chief Engineer.
Output's fine. Take it easy, Drake.
You aren't scared, are you, Neville?
Shut up, Vega. Output in sync. Countdown is starting. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Warp!
When a ship warps, it breaks free of the standard Einsteinian time-space curve. Energy and mass become unchained as the physics of warp space take over, and the ship moves faster than the speed of light. The human mind, however, cannot process the reality of warp space. First, colors begin to shift and misbehave. Then, solid metal deck plates ripple like running streams. Time itself frays, and visions of a person's past and present merge into an unknown and overwhelming phenomenon. When the warp is complete, the crew lay motionless, rendered unconscious by the dangerous space warp.
Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
Yes, perfect. Sir.
I'm fine.
Damage report.
Wave engine functioning normally. ECS online and optimum.
We have some minor structural buckling near the hangar bay dock. Repair crews will be there momentarily. Computer estimates 2 hours to fix it.
I see. Our position?
Approximately 600 megameters to the asteroid belt. We arrived exactly 3 millimeters out of intended destination.
Only 3? Congratulations, everyone. That's a new warp record for accuracy. Drake, your entire nav crew has liberty after this duty shift for 24 hours. Sam, Reyes, you too. Very well done.
So what am I gonna do on my day off?
Oh, I hate you, Drake.
Hello, Vega. Mind if I join you?
Officially, no.
Don't mind him. His human compassion is out being dry-cleaned. Neville Drake, good to meet you.
May. May Gideon. Drake, you're our nav officer, right?
Yeah, and you're our new flight leader. Nice jacket, by the way.
Oh, this thing? It was my grandfather's flight jacket. He was a captain in the EDF, but he died in Zordar's invasion. I guess you could say it's sort of my good luck charm.
And it covers that Home Guard uniform nicely.
We haven't gotten new issue yet, all right? So, Never, what do you think of the Miracle Ship?
We spent 3 months finishing up rebuilding her. The Miracle can be a real pain in the neck. But she's a beauty, true enough. You get the Nickel tour yet?
Nope. But if that's an offer, I have a couple of hours to kill while they fix the bay door.
Sure, anything to get away from the Thunderhead here.
Michael, is everything all right?
Huh? Oh, hi, Sam.
Let me guess. You don't trust her.
Am I that obvious?
The captain vouched for her, and Intel said they were clean. But I don't think that's the only thing bothering you.
Look, Sam, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but just leave it, all right?
Is it Richard?
No! Now excuse me, I need some air.
And this is the wave motion gun firing room. The firing gate is right the other side of that barred safety interlock.
That giant ridged aperture in the prow of the ship is the firing gate?
Yep, uses the energy straight out of the engine. Concentrates it to almost ludicrous levels and then it gets released right down that tunnel. Damn thing can split stars if we want it to.
I remember seeing news vids about it when I was a kid. Is it really that powerful?
Sure, problem is it takes a while to fire it. When it's charging, we can't do anything. Can't fire other weapons, can't use the engines, nothing. Makes us one big sitting target, really.
Neville, can I ask you something?
Obviously. What's on your mind?
Look, don't get me wrong. I appreciate this, really. But why are you being so nice to me? The rest of the crew's treating us like lepers.
Yeah, don't worry about them. They'll come around. I had to go through the same thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You see, my family, well, back home, my family run a large food conglomerate, supplies most of the food for the occupation.
Oh, bet that went over real well with the hothead.
Oh, Vega? He's a good sort, really. It isn't you he's mad at, May. It's just he lost his only family, his brother, in action a few months ago. Really messed him up for a while. Give him space and some time. He'll come around.
Lieutenant Gideon, report to the hangar bay. Lieutenant Gideon, report to the hangar bay.
They must have gotten the launch gate fixed. Thanks for the tour, Neville.
No problem. Well, speak of the devil. Hey, Vega, what's up?
Drake, did you take her in there? The wave gun is classified. Authorized personnel only.
She's got the clearance, mate.
I'm combat commander, and I say she doesn't.
We seem to be, drawing a crowd.
Let's not do this out in the hallway.
Gideon, you stay the hell out of sensitive areas of this ship. Do you hear me?
Of course I do. You're yelling so loud they can hear you on the other side of the ship. I don't know what your problem with me is.
My problem is you're a filthy traitor. You chose to put that Home Guard uniform on and stand with our enemies while the rest of us bled for Earth.
You know what? That's it. I'm sorry your brother died and all, but I wasn't there, okay? Now get off my back and let me do my job.
Vega.
Okay. I can do it that way too.
Stop it. You two stop it now.
What the Sam Hill are you idiots doing?
Doc.
This hallway isn't clear by the count of three. Any stragglers are on report. Two? Works every time.
Thanks, Doc.
Drake, get lost. I'll deal with these two.
Right.
All right. Captain wants to see the pair of you. March.
Right.
You both deliberately allowed your emotions to get the better of you. I knew when the Black Tigers arrived that there would be friction between them and the rest of the crew. Trust is earned, after all, not given. But you two are officers aboard this ship. I expect and demand more from you. When the crew sees you acting like idiots, they act like greater idiots. No more of this, do you hear me? No more.
Yes, sir. It won't happen again, sir.
It had better not. Well, Exo, what do you think is fitting punishment for our scofflaws here? I did order there be absolutely no fighting among the crew, after all.
Oh, I think 10 laps of the ship ought to do it for Vega. Gideon can scrub the hangar deck, alone, by hand.
I agree. Vega, aboard this ship, we are one unit, one team. Since you publicly broke that unity, you must publicly repair it. You will run 10 punishment laps of the main crew quarters and galley area. Get to it.
Yes, sir.
Attention, crew. The captain has decreed that our Mr. Vega here will run 10 punishment laps to make up for his general stupidity. Can we have a lane, please? Thank you very kindly. Now, Vega, you know the drill. Strip to your skivvies.
Yes, sir.
I can't believe I got this deeper.
Is this necessary?
Looking good there,
wow,
Skinny.
Wow, keep butt, Mike.
Geordi, if I die of shame before the starting gun, I'm gonna haunt you.
Budge over, will you, Vega? You're taking out the whole hall.
What the hell are you doing here?
The captain agreed this was better. I guess.
All right. On your marks. Oh, hell. Go! All right, you two. That's 10. Grab your uniforms and hit the showers.
Oh, hallelujah. I didn't realize how big this
Come
ship
on.
Was.
Let's get out of here before Drake comes back with his camera.
So, why did you run the laps? I thought the captain wanted you mopping the deck.
I convinced him otherwise. I was just as at fault as you. Every reason for you to run laps applied to me too.
Convinced? Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to stare, but that's a nasty stack of scars on your back.
Don't worry about it. Most of us have a few.
What do you mean?
10 lashes is the standard punishment for letting unauthorized ships enter Earth space.
What?
Captain Wildstar told you how we let EDF shipments pass. Well, if we weren't careful how we did it, this was the result. If the Imperials thought you were a derelict in your duties, they whipped you. My CO back on the moon base actually was laid open to bone once. So, you'll forgive me if that crack about not bleeding for Earth draws laughter.
Okay, in that case though, I have one question.
Do we really have to do this here?
Yes, we do. Why did the captain know he could trust you? In your position, you two could hardly exchange messages.
Well, he helped raise me. There, can I get changed now? It's drafty in this hallway.
What do you mean, raise you?
Alright, you want my life story? Here goes. When I was little, my mom and I lived with my grandfather, Argus Gideon.
Wait, as in Captain Argus Gideon, the man who commanded the EDF fleet in the first invasion?
Yes. He died at the Battle of Saturn. I was 10 at the time. I remember a few days after the Empire was beaten back, there was a knock at the door. It was Captain Wildstar and Nova, his fiancée. I remember they looked so sad. I was still pretty numb about Grandpa, but they'd come to see if we needed anything.
They knew him?
Yeah. They told me that at the last moment, Grandpa had communicated a possible weakness of the Common Empire's defenses to them, just before the Andromeda blew up. Said he helped save Earth. After that, whenever I needed a friend or family, Uncle Derek or Nova were always there. I enlisted in the EDF as soon as I could, but I was still in the Academy when the invasion came.
So why enter the Home Guard?
Because, frankly, I thought it was the only way to make a difference. What good is a pilot with their wings clipped? I volunteered to infiltrate the Home Guard and help smuggle supplies from the fleet to Earth.
Yeah, and why should I believe any of this?
You know what, honestly, I don't care if you do or don't. Now get out of my way, alright? I have things to do.
War is not fought from one perspective alone. Things are rarely one way or the other. As May pushes past Vega and goes about her duties, he begins to think on all she has told him, and in the back of his mind there is perhaps a small flicker of understanding. The crew must be as one in the coming days, or it will be the end of all. You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Episode 3, a Forward Momentum production. Based on Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Leiji Matsumoto and Yoshinobu Nishizaki, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Sean Hill as Michael Vega, Scott Breakall as Neville Drake, Zach McHugh as Hans Schneider, Philippa Ballantyne as Sam Vandam, Nathan B. Butler as Joaquin Reyes, Jim Perry as Colin O'Donnell, Emery Kinney as Max Stevens, Dave Frizzell as Jordan Venture, Jonathan Edward Dolnier as IQ9, Silas Carter as May Gideon, Devlin James as Pops McClendon, and Joe Harrison as Derek Wildstar. Also heard were Ducky Patterson as Major Barrett, Eric Olp as Barrett's aide, and Andre de Almeida as Colonel Nazca. This is Mark, the Encaffeinated One, Kilfoyle. This episode was produced and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series is drawn from the original Space Cruiser Yamato anime, composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda. Property-specific sound effects drawn from The Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, available through Voyager Entertainment. Sea of Stars is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchu Senkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted materials herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, are reserved to their original creators. No infringing claims are intended. This program is dedicated to Jim Butcher, a fanboy who made good.
Looking for more fan-made Star Wars audio productions? Then look no further than the home of Star Wars fan audio, StarWarsFanWorks.com. It's your source for audio dramas, audio parodies, online radio shows, and podcasts, plus the most comprehensive Star Wars fan audio news found anywhere. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.
This is where we're gonna have the music. The bounce music, which hopefully we will either find or Jim will provide for us. Can you type porn music into iTunes and see what happens?
I'm not typing porn into anything.
I'll do it.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
And we're the socially functional co-hosts of Anomaly,
the podcast with a unique perspective, a female perspective on all things geek.
Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Lord of the Rings.
Buffy.
Firefly.
Gaming.
Books.
Costuming.
And general geek topics. The sometimes monthly,
but always entertaining,
Anomaly Podcast.
AnomalyPodcast.com.
Lieutenant Exler has been separated from the Chimera.
I can take care of myself.
Each uncertain as to the fate of the other.
Yes, despite our hopes, the outlook for Lieutenant Exler is not good, assuming she's even still alive.
Reunited with her mentor.
Cesar.
Careful, girl. He's a treacherous one, I assure you. If you haven't figured that out already.
Uncertain what the future might bring.
What he needs is...
Join us for the beginning of Star Trek Outpost, Season 2, Episode 12, Slips, Strips, Bars, and Bricks. Releasing on April 5th, 2010, only at GiantGnome.com.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to this Forward Momentum production. If you'd like to hear more, you can visit our website at, all one word, forwardmomentumproductions.com. There, you can download all previous episodes from all of our audio dramas, as well as find Forward March, our news and upcoming releases podcast. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can do so through the website, or you can send us an email at forwardmomentumproductions@gmail.com. Thank you once again for listening.